all made quite a list of people there. Phoebe, Priscilla, Aquila, Epaphroditus, Mary. Go down the list. You can put your name there. He basically kind of called out the whole church, at least probably he could remember, you know. Then he said family members and these parents who are working with you, these people who are working with you. Wasn't it interesting? You're going to meet those people someday. They're the first of the church. They're the first fruits, if you will. They're the first wave offering to God. They're waiting. Their bodies are in the grave. But they are waiting for everything to be completed. They were fellow prisoners, fellow kinsmen, fellow workers. They were sisters and brothers and moms and dads, and they were friends. They were united. They were a group in Rome. They had, many of them, traveled the world. Paul knew them by face, most of them probably by name. Priscilla and Aquila and others, he knew because they helped him personally. All the churches greet you. He named 28 of them, and then all the members. And then, of course, at the end, he says, my friends with me greet you. 28 people. They took the word seriously. And Paul wrote them this letter as one of the most, the best doctrinal letters in the New Testament. And he told them to pay attention to him. Pay attention to the letter. Now, there are many things that seem to come from the scriptures. There are some things that we seemingly kind of pull out of the scriptures. Have you ever asked somebody, where did you get that idea? Where did you find that? What united these people? Was it, we're going to do an electoral campaign and we're going to hire a new Caesar for Rome? No. What was it? We're going to elect Paul or Apollos as our leader. No. What was it? What unified this group? Well, we say it's the church. That's the church is just, the word is assembly. It's congregation. What made them an assembly and a congregation, a church? The Word of God. Without the Word, you have no assembly. You have no reason to gather. You have no reason to listen there for 40 minutes or so to what I'm saying. And actually, you shouldn't if I'm not speaking concerning the Word of God. If I'm not talking about the Word, I've said this before, you should fire me. You should get rid of me and find somebody who did or will. You remember President Thomas Jefferson? Not personally, right? You remember what he did? Did you know that he wrote two religious books? One is on the moral works of Jesus Christ, the morality of Jesus Christ, and the covenants. Did you know that he knew Latin. He knew French, I think. He knew several languages, including English. And did you know that he took four Bibles, and he took them and put them aside, and then he took his little razor blade and cut out all the portions that he wanted of those Bibles and put them in what's called the Jefferson Bible. Now you say, well, I thought our country was founded on Christianity. It was. He was actually the one who said, We really do not need, I'm paraphrasing, you can go look it up though. We really do not need Christianity. We don't need to bring God into the presidency and God into the office and God into politics. But since we are a Christian nation, we better do it. Basically what he said. We're a Christian nation. We better do it. Who judges these things? Who judges what to take out and what to preach about? What to teach about? What are the disputable things? What are the things that matter in the Bible? Or does it matter? Well, if it doesn't matter, again, why are we here? What are we learning for if it doesn't matter? I can read, and you have to remember that gifts are given. When God ascended, Jesus Christ ascended, he gave gifts to men. So you have Gary Itt back there teaching a Sunday school back there to the adults, and you've got Sue, and you've got others teaching the children. And can anybody just do that? He said rhetorically, and the answer is no. Especially if we're going to go sideways and say, well, we don't really need to teach it all. People say, well, we don't need to get caught up in the fray. Let's not argue about these things. Let's just stay quiet. You know, mind our own business. Well, my question is, what fray are you talking about? When you say, what fray are you talking about? What argument are you staying away from? What are you afraid of? That's the question we have to ask. What do you want me to stay away from? Dress? Does the Bible talk about dress? Does it address dress? Well, it says be modest. Women, dress like women. Men, dress like men, basically, right? So it does. We don't have to argue a whole lot about it. Should it be long sleeve shorts or shirts, or should it be short sleeve? I see somebody's got shorts in the house. Is that a bad thing? No. Sometimes I wish I could wear shorts in the house. I've just chosen not to. The elders didn't say when you came, you will not be wearing shorts at the pulpit. They didn't do that. How about denomination? What denomination are you from? Does the Bible talk about it? Some people say, well, there's John the Baptist, so we hail from John the Baptist, so that's why we're Baptist. Well, good luck with that. The Bible doesn't talk about that. There were others, remember, the sons of thunder said, we want to call down heaven, call down fire on these people who are not yours, you know. Remember what Jesus said? Let them alone. There's some people who are mine, I'm paraphrasing again, who you don't even know. Don't call down thunder. Just follow me and listen to me. What about worshiping on Saturday or Sunday? Gary talked about this morning. Is there a mandate? There's a mandate to keep the Sabbath, a day of rest. But Sunday, I can't rest on Sunday. I'm not resting on Sunday. It is my busiest day. So I'm out with you guys, right? Throw him out. He can't rest on Sunday. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Paul specifically says, pick a day, but don't let anybody tell you what day you have to pick. We picked the eighth day because Jesus rose that day. He met them at night. Then he did it again the next week. It was the first day of the week. That's Sunday. So the church said, hey, let's do that. Jesus started it. Let's finish it. Or let's complete it. Let's keep going. It's a great idea. And I think it is. When you pray, pray always. Should we tithe? Tithe is a good idea. God liked it in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned in the New. Just give. Give what you can, Paul says. What version of the Bible Is it the ASV, or the ESV, the LSV, the ESV, the KJV? What is it? NJKV? Which one is it? I had this discussion a few times this last week, and I thought I'd throw that in there, because it's kind of fun. Does the Bible talk about what version of the Bible? About these things that I've mentioned, I don't care which day you decide to worship on. Just worship. Which Sabbath day? What version of the scriptures? I say use them all. Compare them. Just interesting, you know, the King James Bible, did you know that in Leviticus 16, the word is scapegoat in the King James? That's not the word there. That's a demon, Azazel. We're talking about a demon there, not a scapegoat. Malachi 4:6 in the King James. We're going to call down a curse. That's not a curse. The word is utter destruction. Curse is like ongoing, you know, somebody's going to fall under a curse. No, God's going to destroy. Utter destruction. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest. This is my pet peeve when it comes to the King James, and I love it, and I learn from it. I still have several on my desk, and I still look at it. But Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. That's Luke 2:14. And they're two-thirds right. They stop the translation because it says, among those with whom he's pleased. Peace among those with whom he's pleased. And then finally, another pet peeve, Acts 12:4. The King James Version is the only one that uses the word Easter. Easter, that's a pagan term. And they replace the word what? Passover. Which means a lot more. So, use the King James Version. I don't care. Just know what you're talking about when you do. And all the other versions. Use Bible Hub. They got like 20 of them there. Look up a verse. It's just a great tool. Or a diet. How about a diet? Let's argue about diets. When the Lord said to Peter, all kinds of animals, eat them all. And what did he say? Rise, kill, and eat, you know. We're going to argue about diet? You know the big things today? You know the big thing right now is they got cricket farms because they want to move away from the cattle. So they want to move you to crickets. Little honey, a little sugar. I hear the grumbling. I'm not going there either. If I'm dying in a forest and I see a cricket, I'm going to eat him. But that's it. That's it. In 1 Timothy, it says, they forbid marriage and require abstaining from certain foods. We're not going there, are we? We're not going to argue about diet. Dress, maybe. You know, if the ladies get a little, you know, if we're showing too much, yeah. You know, some other lady got to cover and say, can we cover some of that up? Or you men, you know, come on. Let's be decent. Right? But in general, we're not going there. We're not. Romans 16:17. I appeal to you, and he named all those people, remember? And now he's got all those people behind him. And so he told them first, like Timothy and others. And now he's appealing to the church. And now he's appealing to you. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, and avoid them. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Now look at the word naive. What does naive mean? Naive means I don't know anything or some things. There's something about some context I don't know. What context is he talking about? What is the doctrines that they were taught? What are the traditions that they were taught? Genesis to Malachi. And now Romans. And probably Galatians. Maybe they got that letter. I'm sure the letters circulated in Rome. What are the things that they were taught and that there is a danger of being naive about? It is the Word of God. What part of the Word, President Jefferson? What part of the Word? All of it. All of it. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5:10, it says, when he was talking about the sexually immoral and don't be hanging about or hanging around with these people, you're going to find something very interesting. He says, I was not including the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters of the world. In that case, you would have to leave this world. In other words, meet them and greet them. Don't be unequally yoked with them. But meet and greet and maybe even befriend them to save them. But what he was saying was, avoid false teachers. Avoid false brothers. Avoid false sisters who say, I'm a Christian, and then what? Are either false teachers or live an immoral life. Avoid them. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Keep away from any brothers, sisters who leads an undisciplined life. Now, Paul, I told you, I thought you just said that we're not supposed to divide. No, we're not supposed to divide around the truth. The truth. The doctrines. The teachings. We gather around this book. I've said this before. When I was learning to preach, thinking about preaching, well, actually on my way to Dallas, I was listening to Alistair Begg, and he had a series of like 36 sermons and over years of teaching to pastors and those kinds of things. And one of the things he taught in there a few times, he reminded us that in England, in ancient England, you know, we're talking about 1,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago, you know, they had pulpits like this big. And they had Bibles this big. You remember the King James Version? They have them. They're this big. And it got to where they had to chain them because some people were taking them. You know, they were, hey, get rid of that Bible. That's why they chain them. But they were on this pulpit this big, and the pulpit was like this. And so now, how much of me do you think you would see? No, they hid behind the Word of God. They wanted people to see the Word of God. The Word of God was the center. It's the authority. The Lord has given me the authority with the gift to preach a gospel, but it's the gospel that's already been written, already laid down for us. It's not something I'm coming up with. It's not something Gary or Sue or Sonia or any of these teachers have said, oh, I think I'll add something here. I think this looks cute. This sounds good. Let's tickle the kids' ears with this. No. No, we're not. We're going to stick with the Word of God. That's why sometimes it's like, this is being a little touchy here. You know, you're kind of toeing the line here. No, Paul says, stay away from them. We're going to divide as a group away from false believers. But we're unifying as a group. 2 Thessalonians again, verse 14. Know anyone who does not obey the instructions of this letter. Now, isn't that interesting? Anybody the Bible police around here? Like you got a little new Old Testament in one pocket, New Testament in the other, and you hear something and you're pulling out your guns? Better. No, we don't pull out our guns and shoot people, do we? It's not what I mean. No, we pull out the sword and say, that's not what my Bible says. That's not what the Word of God says.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Okay. That's where we're getting at. That's where we're going with this. Galatians 1:9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you another gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be anathema, accursed. And again we say, well, what gospel are you talking about? And the teachers here agree with us. The gospel is from Genesis to Revelation. It is not the New Testament alone. It is not the book of Romans or Paul's letters. It is not. Paul even says, according to the gospel, I brought you. Which one was that? From the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 5:11. I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who claims to be a brother but is a sister, but is sexually immoral, greedy, idolater, a verbal abuser, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a person, do not even eat. Don't even eat with them. This is where we're going with this. This is where Jesus went with this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by some of the words that proceed from the mouth of God. Or just a few of the words. Or just the ones that matter to you that day. Or the ones that are not going to cause a problem. Not going to cause an argument. Right? No. Every word. And interesting, we say, well, that's the New Testament. Look at the Old Testament. Jesus knew his Old Testament, by the way. He was the Old Testament, if you will, in Logos. Deuteronomy 8:3, he humbled. He humbled you. God humbled you. And in your hunger, he gave you manna to eat, which neither you nor your fathers had known, so that you might understand that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, wait a minute, Moses. We've kind of left you behind because we don't really need you anymore. We're just going to kind of let that sit and move on to what Jesus said. No, we're not. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we through patience through the word, and understanding and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. I don't find any comfort in the book of 1 Kings. This guy went up to this guy, and this guy was a bad king, this guy was a good king. I don't find any comfort in that stuff. It's confusing. Folks, we can find comfort in every scripture. Because when the Lord and the Spirit started a series of scriptures, he never ended negatively. He never ended negatively. You would say, well, Malachi, the end of Malachi, that's pretty... Hey, I didn't say, hey, Siri. Please help me with that. Look, the first, second, and the second chapter. I got to turn that person off, that thing off. You say, wait a minute, the Old Testament, did you see how the Old Testament ended? The book of Malachi? It is negative. It is like, ugh. But did it stop there? Anybody read Matthew lately? So, Revelation, we get into Revelation, it's kind of nice, and then, boy, we get through Revelation, like, whoa, wait a minute, this is tough stuff and negative, and have you read the end of the book? It's lovely. You want to take the vaccine? I don't care. Get some advice. You want to buy a Ford? Ask a Ford buyer. Ask one to somebody who owns one. Get some advice. What college do you go? It doesn't matter. But there's still a lot of discussion to be had about things in the scripture. Because in the scripture, things either directly or indirectly talk to most things that you're going to run into in life. If you know the Bible, you know the character and the principles of God, and you're going to be able to look at the Lord and say, you know, I know what the Lord said about something that's interesting, close to this life. It looks like this. It acts like this. God, God acted in this situation, in this event. David did this right. David didn't do that right. We can find these things. We can talk them out. We can hammer these things out. Paul says, don't argue over disputable matters. But the question is the word of God, every jot and tittle, disputable? And the answer is no. No. It's not disputable. It's in fact. Understanding it is the issue, isn't it? See, we say, well, let's not argue over things we don't understand. And what I would suggest is, how about we try to understand them? We need to try to understand them. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. All scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All. And I told you this before. Whenever I talk to somebody, somebody says, can I talk to you, Pastor? Can we get some counseling? Can we talk about these things? Can we work through these things? I say, okay, just so you know this, that I think about the scriptures as close as I can to your situation. I try to know God's mind, Christ's mind, what the situation is. What are you doing wrong? What are you doing right? Where can we go from here as we pray in the Holy Spirit and He helps us understand His scriptures? We say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about that. I would bet you that almost everything that you face, God helps you understand. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness, Peter says. When Moses said every word of God, he meant Leviticus 23 and 25 and 18 and 20, the homosexual thing. Okay? He meant Genesis 6, 9, 12, 15, 17, the covenant with Noah and Abraham. Every word. John 5:45. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, in whom you have put your hope. If you had believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote of me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? So you wake up in the morning, and you have your morning devotion, your evening devotion, or whatever. And you've read in the Old Testament, and you find something that says, now wait a minute, that looks a little bit like Jesus. You know, like something he's going to do, or Jesus said to the high priest there, and you know, he said something, or he alluded to something, and you're reading the Old Testament, and go, wait a minute, wow, I think I found Jesus. So later on that day, this is an example of where you should stand up. Later on that day, somebody said, Jesus is not in the Old Testament. Well, first of all, Jesus said he was. Remember the book of Jude? Jude says that it was Jesus who led him through the desert. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? I think he was in the Old Testament. So all of a sudden, see, you're just reading on your own. And the Holy Spirit brings an event, and you say, hey, I think I know something about that. Because you read the Word of God. You know something because you read the Word of God. The secret things belong to Yahweh, our God. Deuteronomy, Moses said, but the things revealed belong to us, the children of God, forever, so that we may follow all the words of God. But when Jesus says every jot and tittle, he means it. He means it. Now, here's the major confusion. Here's really where the rubber meets the road. Because we don't want to get into arguments and disputes over things. We don't want to talk through things because we don't know those things. We don't want to walk into conversations that we know little about. We're afraid to say something or, yeah, I read that this morning, but I can't follow it up with a bunch more scripture. No, but you read it. So here's one of the issues is, see, the Lord he's got the Old Testament, and then he's got his words before the law, and then he's got his words through the law with Moses. And then you remember the Jews went into exile. So now, you know, does the law really mean anything? Because they're in exile. And then again the dark days of Malachi. And then Jesus came, and boy, at the cross, man, everything is new. So what happened to the Ten Commandments? What happened to the sacrifices? Because Jesus was at the end of that. So I'm confused. And when we first start out, we are. Aren't we? But it doesn't matter. Because we're all children. And we are to learn these things. We are to understand these things. Now I command you, because you remember Now I commend you, because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I delivered them to you. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you. This is in chapter 11 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you gather together as a church, I hear that you there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. Now watch this. This is really important. For there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Now, is that, first of all, is that every word, jot and tittle? Yes. Is that the Holy Spirit talking to Paul? Yes. So there must be factions. The word there is a three-letter Greek word, says D. It means there, it must happen. It was necessary for Jesus to go to the cross. That's the D word. It was necessary that he go away, that the Holy Spirit come. It is necessary that there are factions among you. What are factions? Divisions. Divisions. Now, he's using two words here. One is division, all right? And then the other one is the faction. And you know where we get what the Greek word is for that? Heresy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear heresy, I go, okay, that's really bad. That's really bad. And it has come to mean really bad, all right? However, it's more notable that the heresy is the divisions that come by the idea of the person that leads to factions. In other words, somebody comes up with an idea and they say, you know what, I don't think Jesus was divine. And then he comes up with this idea and kind of starts teaching it. Now, this is a heresy. This is what we call heresy, right? And then he says, well, I'm going to start teaching this in the church. I'm going to having a home church, and I gather a few of you and teach that, and now you believe. That's a faction. So now you got divisions, now you got a faction, right? But what if somebody says, well, I think that we ought to have all the girls wear dresses. I'm not promoting. But all the women need to wear dresses. And somebody gets that idea and they start going around and get the men, you know, they need to wear dresses. And all of a sudden, you got a faction of ladies wearing a dress. Now, listen, that's what really is called a faction or heresy. But we wouldn't say, well, that's, you know, to death, you know, away with them. We wouldn't say that. But that's what's happening. We're causing a division based on somebody's idea to divide the church. That's what happens. And Paul is saying, listen, I want you to remember the division, the traditions and the instructions, and do not cause a schism or division. Do not make a faction. Do not start a sect. But he does say there must be heresies among you. They're coming. You remember what Paul said when he left the church? Wolves are going to come up. Jude says the same thing. Contend for the faith. He says these things are going to come. They must come. Why? To approve those who know the word of God. Now I want to show you something here. Let's see if I can think of an idea. You've got three cars out in your yard, and they've been sitting there for 2 years. You haven't driven a one. But now you've got to go to Minneapolis or someplace. And you look out in your yard and you go, well, which one is Which one am I going to take? Which one am I going to, I don't know, which one drives? Well, you better go in and drive them. You better go in and look at them. You better go in and find the problems. And that's what God does. He finds the problems. It must happen. He finds the problems in the church, and he weeds them out. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I bring a sword. See, you and I, we don't want to get into fights. But to be honest with you, good teachers want to find out where the problems are. And say, let's work through this stuff. Let's understand the Word of God. We don't want to fight. But Paul and Barnabas did. Paul and Silas did. They kind of fought with each other a little bit. Then they fought with the Pharisees. They argued. No smart argument. No small arguments, it says. Because we don't want to walk through these things. The word apostasy here, the word apostasy means falling away. Apo is away from standing. All right? And God, Paul is saying, stand. And the only way you can stand is by knowing the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. We have been approved by God. That's tested and that's staining. You've been tested by God to be entrusted with the gospel. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they were not of us, and they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. That is, again, centered around the Word of God. It's not whether you like the pastor. It's not whether you like the music. It's not whether you can wear a dress or not. It is around the Word of God. And again, Jude 1:3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith. Stop. Where do we find the faith? What is the faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not just Matthew through Revelation. Faith comes by hearing through the Word of God. I found it necessary, that's the D, it is necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sexual immorality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, there it is again, in the most holy faith, which is only comes by reading your word. I'm going to end with this. Don't be afraid to argue nicely. Don't be afraid to tell people what you've read this morning, what you know about the scriptures. Sharpen, iron sharpens iron. And we do it, remember, to speak the truth in love, with a destination of helping each other, even myself, to understand the Word of God and God Himself more fully. You know, the men's group has been going pretty fun. And last week, somebody brought up the idea that some sects don't believe that there was a literal cross, that it was a tree. Well, it's a cross. My point was that somebody brought it up, and we had a good discussion about it. Because somebody was reading. Somebody was listening. And that's what we do. We want to know these things. Because it's a literal cross. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. And we honor you, Lord God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the elders and the teachers of this church. And there are many and we're very grateful. Thank you that we can unify here, Lord God, under your word, the umbrella of the Holy Spirit and your truth. We worship you as the only way, truth, and life. We love you for it. Be with us as we go, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.